Perek Ches. Bayom Ahu, on that very day that Haman was hung, Nosan HaMelech Achashverosh LeEsther HaMalko, King Achashverosh gave to Queen Esther, Es Beis Haman, the estate of Haman, Tzarer HaYehudim, the one who was the enemy of the Jews, Umordechai Bo Lefnei HaMelech, and Mordechai came before the king, Ki Higida Esther Mahulo, because Esther told Achashverosh what Mordechai was to her, Zok Rashi, Mahula, what he was to her, Eichu Karivlo, how he, Mordechai, was related to her. The Pasuk says that Haman's estate was given to Esther, and we must understand, since there is a mitzvah saseh to destroy the memory of Amalek, Timche es Zecher Amalek, which means not to even keep the possessions of Amalek, how was Esther allowed to accept Haman's estate as a gift, if one is not allowed to own the possessions of Amalek? In Sefer V'Dibar Tabom, there is brought down two tirutzim. The first teretz, according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis, the property of people who are put to death by the king automatically become the king's possession. And since Achashverosh personally issued the order that Haman should be hung, Haman's property automatically became his. Therefore, it was permissible for Esther to take this property, since it was no longer considered the property of an Amaleki. And that is the pshat in the Pasuk further, Pasuk Zayin, when Achashverosh says to Esther and Mordechai, Hinei beis Haman osati laEsther, behold, the estate of Haman I have given to Esther. And the reason why she is allowed to keep it is because v'oisai tolu alo eitz, I commanded that Haman should be hung. And since it was through my decree that he was hung, his possessions belong to me, and it is not a possession of an Amaleki. And that is why Esther is allowed to keep it. And this is similar to what the Gemara in Gittin Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph says regarding the land of Moav. We know that one is not allowed to provoke a war or distress Moav, and therefore we cannot directly take the land of Moav. However, after they were defeated by Sichon, and the land was considered Sichon's land, it was permissible for the Jews to take the land. So too over here, once the property became Achashverosh's property, it was mutter for Esther to take this property. A second answer brought down in Sefer V'Dibar Tabom is brought down in the name of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. He quotes Rashi in Sefer Devarim Perek Chafei Pasuk Yutes that the mitzvah of Timcha es Zecher Amalek includes men and women regardless of their age, and even sheep and oxen, so that the name of Amalek should not be mentioned even in connection with an animal by someone saying this animal belongs to Amalek. The Rambam in Hilchos Melachim Perek Hei Halacha Dalet says that it is a mitzvah saseh to totally wipe out the Zion Umois, the seven nations that lived in Eretz Yisrael. As it says, Ki hachareim tacharimeim, you should totally destroy them. And lo sechaya kol neshama, you should not allow any of them to live. And then the Rambam ends off, Ukvar ovad zichram, their memory no longer exists. Since Sancheirev, the king of Ashur, mixed up all the nations, we do not know anymore who are the seven nations. And therefore, the mitzvah of Leisachaya Kol Neshama does not exist today. Then the Rambam continues in the next halacha, halacha hei, that it is also a mitzvah saseh to destroy Amalek, as it says, Timcha es Zecher Amalek. And there are two questions on this Rambam. First of all, why doesn't the Rambam say, Ukvar Ovad Zichrom, that their memory no longer exists, just like he said regarding the Zion Umois? By the Zion Umayis, he says that this halacha does not apply today because Sancheirev mixed up all the nations and we do not know who the Zion Umayis are. So why doesn't he say the same thing concerning Amalek? That Sancheirev mixed up the nations and we do not know who Amalek is, and therefore this halacha does not apply today. And secondly, why doesn't the Rambam mention that there is also a mitzvah to totally destroy the possessions of Amalek? On that he answers that the Zion Umayis were those who occupied Eretz Yisrael before Klal Yisrael conquered the land. Amalek was not part of the Zion Umayis, but he was the arch enemy of Klal Yisrael all the way from the beginning. Without any justification, merely out of pure hatred, he fought the Jewish people and tried to annihilate them. Throughout history, there have been many people who were like Amalek, following their ideology, trying to destroy Klal Yisrael out of pure hatred. The mitzvah of wiping out the memory of Amalek does not only apply to the nation Amalek, but also those who have accepted their obsession of harming Klal Yisrael throughout history. Therefore, in regard to the Zion Umayis, whose existence is no longer known, the Rambam says, Ukvar Ovad Zichrom, their memory no longer exists, and therefore presently the mitzvah of destroying them is not applicable. He does not add these words regarding Amalek, since the mitzvah does not only apply to the nation Amalek, but to all those who have Amaleki philosophy, and therefore this mitzvah applies throughout all generations, even though we do not know who the original Amaleki nation is. However, there is a difference between the Timche Ezecha Amalek of the nation of Amalek and the Timche Ezecha Amalek of the ones who follow the Amalek philosophy. Because concerning the nation of Amalek, we must wipe out the possessions of Amalek too, so that the name of Amalek should not be mentioned even in connection with an animal by someone saying this animal belongs to Amalek. However, in the case of someone who is not from the nation Amalek, but just has the philosophy of Amalek, the people must be destroyed, but not their possessions. The Yerushalmi in Yevamis, Parsha Beis, Ois Vav says, on the words Haman ben Hamdasa, v'chi ben Hamdasa hi, is Haman really the son of Hamdasa? The Pnei Moshe on Yerushalmi explains the Yerushalmi's question. How can the Pasuk call him the son of Hamdasa when he was really many generations removed from Hamdasa? According to this pshat, the Gemara is not saying that Haman was not from Agag, just questioning why does the Pasuk say that he was a son of Hamdasa when he was actually generations later. However, there are those who explain the Yerushalmi's question that Haman was not an actual descendant of Hamdasa. So why is he called Ben Hamdasa Ho'agogi? On this, the Yerushalmi answers, to designate him as a Tzorer Ben Tzorer. He was an oppressor of Klal Yisrael, just like Hamdasa and Agag. So according to this pshat in the Yerushalmi, Haman was not a descendant of Amalek. However, since he followed the footsteps of Amalek and pursued the philosophy of killing Jews, therefore there was a chiyuv of Timche Zecher Amalek and he had to be killed. However, it was permissible to benefit from his possessions, and that is why Esther was allowed to keep the estate of Haman. The Pasuk says, "Bayom Ahu," on that very day, Haman's estate was given to Esther. Why the emphasis on "Bayom Ahu," on that very day? Yosef Lekach explains, in Haman's decree in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel, he wrote to destroy all the Jews in a single day, Ushlolom Lavois, and on that day to plunder their possessions. Since Hashem punishes Mida Keneged Mida, on that very day that Haman was hung, all his possessions were taken away from him and given to Esther. Mida Keneged Mida, his possessions were taken from him on the day he was destroyed. Medrash Shmuel explains, the Pasuk says regarding Yaakov and Esav in Parshas Toldos, Ula'im Miloim Yemotz, when one will be strong, the other will be weak. Yaakov and Esav will not have power at the same time. When Esav is strong, Yaakov will fall. And when Yaakov is strong, Esav will fall. Haman was from Amalek, which is Esav. As soon as he fell, Vayitlu es Haman, they hung Haman. Mordechai rose to power. As the Pasuk says, U'Mordechai bo lifnei ha-melech. And Mordechai came before the king. And the Pasuk continues, Pasuk Beis, Vayoser ha-melech es tabatoi, and the king removed his signet ring, Asher hevir me Haman, which he had taken away from Haman. Vayitin ol Mordechai, and he gave it to Mordechai. Vatosim Esther es Mordechai al beis Haman. And Esther placed Mordechai in charge of Haman's estate. As the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yud Amud Beis explains, this is the meaning of the Pasuk in Keheles, V'lachoyte, and to the sinner, referring to Haman, Nosan Inyon Lesoy Felichnois. He gives the opportunity to amass great wealth, Loses Latoiv Lefneu Alekim, so that the sinner may pass it on to the one who is pleasing before Hashem. The wealth that Haman amassed was passed on to Mordechai, the one who was Toiv Lefnei Ho'elikim. Pasuk Gimel, Vatoisef Esther Vatadaber Lefnei HaMelech. And Esther spoke again to the king, Vatipoi Lefnei Raglov, and she fell at his feet, Vateifk Vateschananloi, and she wept and begged him, Lahavir Esroas Haman Ho'agogi, to do away with the evil of Haman Ho'agogi, Ve'es Machashavtoi Asher Choshav Al HaYehudim, and his scheme that he plotted against the Jews. Sakrashi, Pasuk Gimel, Lahavir Esroas Haman, to do away with the evil of Haman, Shalaitiskayim Atzosei Haro, that his evil plan should not go into effect, because although Achashverosh appointed Esther and Mordechai over Haman's estate, the evil decree against the Jews was still in full force. Reb Shlomo Kluger in Sefer Mamer Mordechai explains the double lashon, Why the pasuk says lahavir es ro'as Haman, to do away with the evil of Haman. And then it says ve'is machashavto asher choshav, and his scheme that he plotted. What is the difference between ro'as Haman and machashavto? The Gemara Megillah says that nobody knew how to slander the Jews as well as Haman. He told Achashverosh how the Jews hated him and planned a rebellion against him. Esther was worried. Even if Achashverosh would nullify the decree, what about the thoughts, the machshavos, that Haman put in Achashverosh's head? Maybe Haman's lies would still have an effect on Achashverosh's machshavos, and the king would continue to hate the Jews. Out of love for Esther, Achashverosh might listen to her to remove the decree. But what good would that do if tomorrow, because of the king's hatred, he would make a new decree against the Jews? Therefore, Esther begged the king not only to do away with Ro'as Haman, the evil of Haman, but also to remove from his mind Machashavtoi Asher Choshav Al HaYehudim, the thoughts about the Jewish people that Haman had implanted into Achashverosh's mind. And the pasuk continues, pasuk Dalet, Vayoshed HaMelech LeEsther Eish Shavit HaZov, and the king held out toward Esther his golden scepter, Vatokom Esther Vatamud Lefnei HaMelech, and Esther arose and stood before the king. Vatoymer, and she said, Im HaLaMelech Toiv, if it is pleasing to the king, V'mososi Chein Lefonov, and if I found favor before him, V'choshar HaDover Lefnei HaMelech, and the matter seems proper before the king, V'toyva Ani Be'enov, and I am pleasing in his eyes. Yikosev, let it be written, Lehoshev Es Asvorim, to recall the letters, Machasheves Haman ben Hamdoso Agogi, the scheme of Haman, the son of Hamdoso the Agogi, Asher Kosav Le'abed Es HaYehudim Asher B'chol Medino Es HaMelech, who wrote letters to destroy the Jews in all the provinces of the king. Ki Eichocha Uchal V'ro'isi, how can I witness Boro'o Asher Yimso Es Ami, the evil that will befall my nation, Ve'eichocha Uchal V'ro'isi, and how can I witness Be'ovdan Moilarati, the destruction of my relatives? And Yosef Lekach asks, why concerning Ami, the nation of Klal Yisrael, did Esther say, Eichocha Uchal V'ro'isi, Bora'o Asher Yimso Es Ami? How can I witness the evil that will happen to my nation? However, when speaking about her family, Moilarati, she says, Eichocha Uchal V'ro'isi, Be'ovdan Moilarati, how can I witness the destruction of my family? Why does she use a lashon of destruction only by Moilarati, her family? Yosef Lekach explains, even though the Torah says many punishments that would happen to Klal Yisrael if they do Averis, a promise was made to them that they will never be totally destroyed. As the pasuk says in Parashat Bichukosai, Afgam zoyt be'eretz oyveihem, even when you are in Golus, in the land of your enemies, lo ma'astem v'lo ga'altem l'chaloysam, I will not totally destroy you. Therefore, Esther was not worried that her people, Klal Yisrael, would be completely destroyed, because the Torah promised that this would never happen. However, there is no such promise about the survival of any particular family. Therefore, only concerning Moilarati, her family, does she say, how can I witness Be'ovdan Moilarati, the total destruction of my family? But concerning Ami, my nation, the nation of Klal Yisrael, she only says, how can I witness the Ra'a, the evil? Because she was not worried that they would be totally and completely destroyed. Pasuk Zion. Vayomer HaMelech Achashverosh LeEsther HaMalka LeMordechai HaYehudi. And King Achashverosh said to Queen Esther and Mordechai the Yehudi, Hinei veis Haman nosati LeEsther. Behold, Haman's estate I have given to Esther. Ve'oisai tolu ala eitz. And he, Haman, they hung on the gallows. Ala shersholach yodoi b'Yehudim. Because he sent his hand, he attacked the Jews. Zok Rashi Pasuk Zayin, Hinei veis Haman, behold, Haman's estate was given to Esther. Me'ato hakol royim she'ani chovitz bochem, and now everybody sees that I favor you. V'chol ma she'toimru, and anything that you will say now, ya'aminu hakol she'me'itehu, everybody will believe that it is coming from me. L'fikach ein tzrichim atem la'shivam, therefore it is not necessary for you to recall the letters. Elo kisvu svarim acherim, rather write new letters, katoy be'enechem, as you please, and everybody will believe that these new letters are from me, since I handed over Haman's estate into your hands. And Achashverosh continues in Pasuk Ches, V'atem and you kisvu ala Yehudim katoy be'enechem, Write concerning the Jews, as it may be good in your eyes, b'shem ha-melech, in the name of the king, v'chismu, and seal it, b'tabas ha-melech, with the signet ring of the king. Ki kesov asher nichta b'shem ha-melech v'nachton b'tabas ha-melech, because the writing that was written in the name of the king and signed with the king's signet ring, ein lehoshiv, cannot be revoked. Zok Rashi, ein lehoshiv, ein no'or lehashivoi, it is not proper to revoke it, v'lasos kesav ha-melech b'ziyuf, and to make the king's writing invalid. So the first decree cannot be revoked, but it can be adjusted in a way that it is favorable to the Jews. The Al-Shuch says an interesting pshat. In the first decree, it says, "Lahashmid laharoig ula'abed es kol ha-Yehudim," to destroy, kill, and exterminate all the Jews. Achashverosh said, just put a comma before the word Yehudim, and the whole sentence will sound differently. The first decree will read, Lahashmid laharoig ula'abed es koil, to destroy, kill, and exterminate everyone. And who will do this? Ha-Yehudim, the Jews will be the one who are killing. The Jews will destroy es koil. And that is the pshat in our pasuk. Va'atem kisvu al ha-Yehudim. Write the new letters explaining the word Yehudim in the first decree. They are not the ones being killed, but rather the ones who are killing others. So by changing the punctuation in the first letter, the king was not revoking the first letter, but rather explaining what the first letter really meant. And the pasuk continues, pasuk tes, vayikaru sefer ha-melech boisahi, and they summoned the king's scribes at that time, b'chodesh ha-shlishi hu chodesh Sivan, in the third month, which is the month of Sivan, b'shloisha ve'estrim boi, on the 23rd day of that month, the 23rd day of Sivan, vayikosev, and it was written, k'chol asher tziva Mordechai, like everything that Mordechai commanded, el ha-Yehudim, to be sent to the Jews, ve'el ho'achash tarpanim, and to be sent to the officials, the ha-pachois, and to be sent to the governors, v'sori ha-medinois, and the ministers of the countries, asher me'hoidu ve'ad kush, that were from hoidu till kush, sheva v'estrim u'me'o medina, 127 provinces, medina u'medino kiksavo, every province according to its script, v'am v'om kilshonoi, and every nation according to its language, ve'el ha-yehudim kiksavam v'chilshonom, and to the Jews also, according to their script and according to their language. Zok Rashi Pasuk Tes, Kiksava, Ba'osi Ashila, according to the script and the letters and the alphabet of that country. Kilshonai, Hu Hadibor, this means the spoken language of that country. It was written in the alphabet of that country and also in the spoken language of that country. The Mefarshim ask, Haman's letters to destroy the Jews were sent out on the 13th of Nisan, as it says in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Beis. Then Haman was hung Pesach time. So why did Mordechai wait till the 23rd of Sivan to send out the new letters? That's 70 days since the first decree. Yaris Tavash answers, normally a person's life spans for 70 years. Also, it is known that in certain situations, Hashem considers one day as a full year, like it says by the Meraglim, Yoim Lashono. Therefore, Mordechai delayed sending his letters to save Klal Yisrael so that the Jews would repent for 70 days from the 13th of Nisan till the 23rd of Sivan. These 70 days would represent 70 years, the lifespan of a person, and it would be considered as if they had spent their whole life b'tshuva. And only then would the Jews be ready for the second letters to be sent out. Yosef Lekach answers differently, that Mordechai was waiting for the return of Haman's couriers who brought the first letters. He felt that it was important that his letters be delivered by the same couriers. That would add legitimacy to the second letters, even though it apparently contradicted the first decree. And that is why he waited until the 23rd of Sivan, because it was then that the couriers returned. Pasuk Yud, Vayichtoy b'shem ha-melech Achashverosh, and Mordechai wrote it in the name of Achashverosh, Vayachtoim b'tabas ha-melech, and he signed it with the king's signet ring. Vayishlach sefarim, and Mordechai sent letters, biyad horotzim basusim, through the couriers on horseback. Roichve horechesh, as Ibn Ezra explains, roichve, the ones who were riding on rechesh, the rechush ha-melech, the horses that were the property of the king, which were the best of the best of the horses, which can only be found in the king's property. Ho'achashtronim b'nei haramochim. What does Ho'achashtronim b'nei haramochim mean? And the Gemara Megillah Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph says that we do not know the meaning of these words. And there is a machlokes rishonim, what the Gemara means by this. According to the Ritva, the Gemara is explained kipshutai, that nobody knows the meaning of these words. According to the Ran, the average person does not know the meaning. However, the Chachomim do know what it means. Rabbeinu Chanana learns that the average person does know the meaning. Just noshim ve'amei ha'aretz, women and unlearned people, do not know what it means. However, Rashi does tell us what ho'ach ashtronim are. He says that it means swift camels, camels that can run quickly. But he does not explain the words b'nei ha'ramochim. Ibn Ezra explains both words. Achashtronim are mules. Mules are a product of breeding horses with donkeys. When the male is a horse and the female is a donkey, that produces an inferior breed of mules. To produce a superior breed of mules, the female must be the horse. And that is what the Pasuk is telling us. The Achashtronim, the mules, were b'nei ramochim, a breed that came from female horses. Ramochim are female horses. And since the horses were female, therefore this produced a superior breed. The point of the Pasuk, according to all the Pshatim, is that Mordechai wanted the letters to circulate as soon as possible. And he therefore sent Ratzim on horseback and swift camels and mules to bring these second letters as soon as possible. The 70 days of Tshuva were over, and now it was time to stop the Gezerah immediately. Zok Rashi Pasuk Yud, B'yad ha-Ratzim through the couriers, Rechvei Susim, the ones who were riding on horseback, and the reason why they were called Ratzim, Shetzivo Lehem Loretz, because they were commanded to go quickly and to run. Ho'ach Ashtronim, Rashi learns, Min Gemalim Hamemaharim Loretz, they are a type of camel that runs swiftly. The Pasuk says, Vayichtoiv, and he, Mordechai, wrote the letters, Vayachtoim, and he signed it, Vayishlach, and he sent it. Manas Halevi points out that it is all written in the singular. He wrote, he signed, he sent. Mordechai wanted the mitzvah of saving the Jews to be done totally by himself and not through a shliach. And that is why the Pasuk says that he wrote it, he signed it, and he sent it. We mentioned before that the three words in the Megillah, Ho'ach Ashtronim B'nei Ha'ramochim, are words that the Gemara says we do not know what they mean. The Maril Diskin says that based on this Gemara, we can understand the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Gimel Amid Beis, where there the Gemara says that we are Mevatel Talmud Torah in order to read the Megillah. And we have to understand, in what way is one being Mevatel Talmud Torah when reading the Megillah? Really, what he is doing is stopping to learn one thing and learning the Megillah, because the Megillah itself is Talmud Torah. However, now that the Megillah has three words whose meaning is unknown, the time taken out to read these three words is time taken away from learning Torah, because learning Torah means understanding what you are learning. So while these three words are being read, one is sacrificing Talmud Torah. Therefore, the Chachamim have to tell us that we are Mevatel Talmud Torah for the purpose of Kriyas HaMegillah. We stop learning Torah and read these three words, which are not Talmud Torah, in order to be Mekayin the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah, which is Pirsumei Nisa, and takes precedence over Talmud Torah. And the Pasuk continues, Pasuk Yud Aleph. And the letter said, Asher Nosan HaMelech LaYehudim, that the king had given permission to the Jews, Asher B'chol Ir Vo'ir, who are in all the cities, Lihi Kohel, to assemble, V'la'amod Al Nafsham, and to defend themselves, L'hashmid V'la'harag U'la'abed, to destroy, kill, and exterminate, Es Kol Chel, all the armed forces, Am U'medina, of any nation or province, Hatzorim Oysam, that threaten them, Tafinoshim, even killing all the women and children, Ushalolam Lovois, and to take their property as spoil. The letter said, Lihi Kohel, that the Jews should assemble together. Yosef Lekach explains, only through unifying themselves and begging for Hashem's help could they be victorious despite being seriously outnumbered. Zok Rashi, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ushalolam Lovois, and to take their property as spoil, Kasher Nichtav Barishonos, just like it was written in the first letters, just like by the first letters, it was written that the Goyim should take the spoils of the Jews, so too over here it was written in the reverse, that the Jews should take the spoils of the Goyim. However, Vehem Babiza Leisholchu Es Yodam, the Jews did not want to take from the spoils, like it says in the next perek, Sheheru Lakoil, because they wanted to show everyone, Shloi Nasa L'Shem Momoin, that this was not done for the sake of money. And the letter continues, that this will all take place biyoyim echad, on a single day, b'chol medinos hamelech Achashverosh, in all the provinces of King Achashverosh, b'shloisha asar, on the 13th day, l'chodesh ne'masar, of the 12th month, hu chodesh Adar, the 12th month is the month of Adar. So this will all take place on the 13th of Adar. Pashegen hakesav, an explicit letter, lihinasein dos, to set the law, b'chol medina u'medina, in every province, goloi l'chol amim, published before all the nations, v'lihiyos ha'yehudim asidim la'yem hazeh, so that the Jews should be prepared for that day, lihinokem me'oyveihem, to take revenge from their enemies. Haratzim, the couriers, roichevei harechesh, the ones who rode on the elite property of the king, the rechush ha'melech, ho'achashtronim, which we explained earlier, either to mean the swift camels or the swift mules, yotzu mivayholim u'dechufim b'dvar ha'melech, went out in a rush by the order of the king, the hadoth nitna b'shushan habira, and the law was given in Shushan, the capital. Zok Rashi, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pashegen, Igeras Mefurash, an explicit letter. Zok Rashi, Pasuk Yud Daled, Mivayholim, Mimaharim Oysam Lasis Mehera, they were rushed to do it quickly, Lefisha Lehoyu Lohem Pnai, because they did not have much time. Shehoyolem Lahaktim Rotzim Harishonim, because they had to get ahead of the first couriers, leha'aviram, and to overtake them. This Rashi is learning differently than we learned before. We mentioned earlier a pshat from the Sefer Yosef Lekach that the reason why Mordechai waited 70 days to send the second letters was because he wanted to use the same couriers as the first letters. He therefore waited until they returned. According to this Rashi, they were rushing in order to overtake the first couriers. So obviously, according to Rashi, these were different couriers. The Manus HaLevi explains the Lashon of Mivayholim. They went out bewildered, because throughout history, it was common for Goyim to persecute Jews. Now that Mordechai sent letters granting permission for the Jews to declare war against the Goyim, that surprised them. That is why the term Mivayholim, bewildered, is used. Yotzu Mivayholim, they went out bewildered by this unusual decree. And the pasuk continues, U'Mordechai yotza milifnei ha'melech, and Mordechai went out from before the king, bilavush malchus, with royal clothing, techeles, made of blue wool, v'chor and white, v'aterezov gedoyla, with a large golden crown, v'sachrich butz, and a wrap made of linen, v'argomon, and purple wool, v'ho'ir shushan tzahola v'samecho, and the city of Shushan was glad and joyful. Zot Rashi, pasuk tesvov, v'sachrich butz, Ma'ate butz, this means a wrap made of linen. Tachrich is a wrap. Talis ha'osu lis atef, a talis, a shawl that is made to wrap around. The Briskerov points out that earlier, after Haman paraded Mordechai through the streets on the king's horse, wearing the king's clothing, it says that Mordechai returned to the king's gate, returning to his davening and fasting. His personal victory over Haman meant nothing to him, as long as Klal Yisrael was still in danger. However, now when the Jews saw Mordechai exit the king's palace, not wearing sackcloth, but rather dressed bilavush malchus, they knew that the decree had been revoked, and they had nothing more to fear. And that is why the pasuk ends off afterwards, V'ha'ir Shushan, Tzahola v'Samecha. Now the city of Shushan was glad and joyful. In Parshas Vayigash, when Yosef revealed himself to his brothers and said, Ani Yosef, the pasuk says that he gave all the Shvatim a change of clothing, and to Binyamin he gave 5 changes of clothing. And the Gemara Megillah Daf Tezayin asks, Efshar davar shenitzdar boy oisei tzadik yikoshel boy? Is it possible that the very same thing, jealousy, that Yosef suffered from, he himself should stumble over? Yosef suffered from his brothers because they were jealous that he was favored by Yaakov more than them. So now Yosef, of all people, should show favoritism and give Binyamin 5 times more than his brothers? The Gemara answers that really the 5 changes of clothing which he gave Binyamin was equal in value to the 1 change of clothing given to his brothers. The reason why he gave Binyamin 5 changes was to hint to Binyamin that in the future, Mordechai, a descendant of Binyamin, will go forth from before the king with 5 royal garments, Techeles, Chur, Aterezov, Tachrich Butz, and Argomon. The 5 changes of clothing given to Binyamin corresponded to the 5 garments worn in the future by Mordechai HaTzadik. And the pasuk continues, pasuk tezayin, LaYehudim to the Jews, Hoysa Oira v'Simcha, there was light and joy, v'Sosoin and gladness, v'Kar and honor. And the Gemara Megillah explains that these four things, Oira, Simcha, Sosoin and Yikar, represent four things that Haman forbidden the Jews from doing and now became permitted again. Oira is Torah, Simcha is Yontif, Sosoin represents Bris Milah, Yikar is Tfilin. Haman decreed that the Jews may not learn Torah, may not celebrate Yontif, may not perform Bris Milah, and may not wear Tfilin. Now, La Yehudim Haisa Oira V'Simcha V'Sosin V'Yikar, all these things became permitted again. And the Sfas Emes asks, why couldn't the Pasuk just say straight out that the Jews had Torah, Yontif, Milah, and Tfilin? Why was it necessary to use the words Oira, Simcha, Sasan, and Yikar? And the answer is that the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Peches says, on the Pasuk further, Kimu V'Kiblu HaYehudim, the Gemara says, Kimu Masha Kiblu Kvar, the Jews accepted the Torah now with even greater fervor than they did earlier at Har Sinai. The Nes that took place on Purim brought the Jews to a new level of commitment to the Torah. The Pasuk is telling us that now the Jews saw the Torah as Or, light, Yontif, as Simcha, happiness, Milah as Sosoin, gladness, and Tfilin as Yikar, honor. They now appreciated even more the happiness and light of the mitzvahs. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Uvechol Medino Medino, and in every province, Uvechol Ir Vo'ir, and every city, Mikoyim Asher Dvar HaMelech V'Dosei Magia, everywhere that the command of the king and his law reached, Simcha V'Sosan LaYehudim, there was joy and gladness to the Jews, Mishte, feasting, V'Yom Tov, and a holiday, V'Rabim Me'ame Oretz Misyahadim, and many of the Goyim converted to Judaism, Ki Nofal Pachad HaYehudim Aleihem, because the fear of the Jews fell upon them. So Grashi Pasuk Yud Zayin, Misyahadim, Miskairim, they converted. And we must understand, according to the Gemara in Yevamos, Chav Dalet Amud Beis, a ger can be accepted only if he wholeheartedly desires to become a Jew, and not if he's merely seeking to benefit from the glory that the Jewish people are experiencing. So why over here was this a good gerus if they only were megayer because of their fear of Klal Yisrael? And the Monos HaLevi answers that Beis Din in the days of Mordechai and Esther did not accept any of these goyim as members of Klal Yisrael. However, out of fear for the Jewish people, the goyim were misyahadim, masquerading as gerim, hoping that the Jews would be friendly to them and not do any harm to them. And the Sfas Emes says that maybe this is the reason for the custom of dressing up on Purim and hiding one's true identity. Just like the goyim masqueraded as gerim, we also masquerade to commemorate the miracle. And the Alshuch points out how very different Klal Yisrael is than the goyim. When Haman decreed that the Jews should be destroyed, and the threat of death was hanging very heavily over Klal Yisrael, not even one Jew changed his faith, and they all remained faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As opposed to the goyim, as soon as they felt the fear of the Jews, they were ready to abandon their religion. As we see in the Pasuk, V'rabim me'ame ha'oretz misyahadim.